Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel, where we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377, and we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we invite you to keep listening to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day, how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to discuss, now's the time to call. 1-800-677-9377. The lines await you right now. It's basic gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we said basic gospel equals new covenant. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection ushers us into a new covenant or a new arrangement, a new relationship with God the Father. Under the old covenant, there was no relationship. We were outside of that relationship, looking in, so to speak. But in this new covenant, we're ushered into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And we talked a little bit of the four provisions of the new covenant, the promises that we have. But some of you may be asking the question. I know I asked the question, and I'm sure you guys as well. If we have a new covenant, why? I mean, what was the reason? Why did God have to bring a new covenant in? Wasn't the old covenant sufficient? Wasn't it good enough? I mean, after all, God brought it into being, right? Mm-hmm. So why in the world did God put aside the old to bring in a new? And the writer of Hebrews gives, I think, the best explanation of that possible, and it's very concise. It's not a long, complicated answer. He just brings it right to the real problem. He says this, "For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant," so there was something wrong with the first covenant, he says, "no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people." What was the problem with that old covenant as far as God was concerned? The people. They did not have the ability to live up to their end of the bargain. And they did have an end of the bargain.
Yes.
God was faithful to carry out his end of the bargain. The people were not faithful. And matter of fact, they violated the covenant very soon after it had been ratified, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, Moses doesn't come down from the mountain for a while, and they figure, well, God killed him.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. It's up to us. And so they say, okay, let's go back and, you know, dig up some idols from what we used to do. And, you know, the way the story is reported, it's just, it's so tragic, but it's also funny. I mean, Moses finally shows up, and Aaron, the brand-new high priest, Aaron, says, I don't know what happened. This golden calf just leaped out of the fire.
I know.
It was a miracle.
Yeah, boop, there it was.
And you wonder, how human are we? And that's exactly how human we are. I mean, I remember very soon after accepting Jesus, some of the most terrible things came out of my head, out of my mouth, and out of my behavior that I had ever imagined, and I was proud of it. And there I was, a brand-new baby Christian. Explain that, other than that's what we humans are like. And if it wasn't God taking the initiative now in this new covenant, we'd all be going to hell.
Absolutely.
The flesh loves stuff.
Yeah.
So
the problem with that old wasn't the...
God.
It wasn't God. It wasn't the agreement at all. It was just the fact that the people couldn't live up to it. And I've said often, and we've said it on this program a number of times, really didn't need ten commandments.
Yeah, first one gets you.
Yeah, the nation of Israel never made it past commandment number one. Uh-huh. That was their stumbling block. I mean, they kept tripping over this deal of worshiping other idols or worshiping idols. And so they failed. They failed miserably. They violated the covenant. And in doing so, they really brought it to an end as far as they were concerned. The only thing that was waiting for them was judgment, was condemnation. And the same is true of us. We are all come into this world condemned, judged by the righteous standards of the law. There's no way that we can live up to them. So the only thing that the old covenant can say to us are words of judgment, condemnation, punishment, death. That's the language of the old. And so we needed something new. And so God took the initiative and he provided a new covenant. And it's not an agreement like the old covenant was. This is simply a will, God's declaration. He is making a statement that he is going to put his laws in our hearts and write them on our minds. He made that statement and he brings it about.
Uh-huh.
He's taken away our sins once and for all and he remembers them no more. He made that statement. He brought it about. He's placed his spirit inside of us so that we could know the Lord. He's just done that. None of that was dependent upon us. We had no part in bringing those provisions to reality. God did it. God spoke it. God executed it. God made it happen. So that's why we needed this new covenant, because we didn't have what it took to live up to the old. So thank goodness that God loved us enough to bring this covenant into being, ratifying it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and putting it in effect so that we could benefit from his love, his kindness, his goodness, his glory, his mercy, all of those things. Mm-hmm. It's all of Jesus and none of us.
Yeah. And that's what you hear daily on Basic Gospel. If you're listening in New York or Washington, Louisville, Kentucky, and Denver, or if you've tuned into the live stream online, we want to hear from you. This program is for you, and we've opened it up live so that you can participate. 1-800-677-9377. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing in life for which you'd like to talk about it, well, this is your best opportunity. The lines are wide open right now. 1-800-677-9377, and we want to hear from you. Well, guys, a question from Vicki, and it's a little bit different topic. She says, isn't Jesus supposed to lock Satan away for 1,000 years and then teach the lost people, then let him out again? And what about the valley of dry bones where flesh will be back on them and they get to live for 1,000 years too? And one more thing, what is the second death? So kind of a mishmash of questions there.
Lots of things. Well, let's put them in chronological order. Let's start back in the valley of dry bones.
Yeah.
That was a vision that Ezekiel mm-hmm. saw. What in the world was God trying to communicate to Ezekiel and through Ezekiel to the people of Israel?
The way I read it is that God was saying, in effect, to him, similarly to what God said to Jeremiah to give him the new covenant. To Ezekiel, he said, look, you're looking at this nation that has been trashed and destroyed. It's destroyed itself, and they've made treaties, and they abrogated those treaties, and people came in and beat them up. And you think that the whole nation of Israel is dead. I want to tell you that it's not. I have something planned, God said. And so he took him out to this valley of dry bones, and he said, what do you see? He said, I see dry bones. He said, now what do you see? And life came to those dry bones. Resurrection occurred. And God said, this is what I'm going to do for the people. So it was a great promise that far from being lost beyond all hope, Israel was going to be brought back by God himself.
Yeah. And it's a foreshadowing of what Christ was going to accomplish.
Absolutely.
For us. I mean, we were dead
uh-huh.
spiritually, separated from God. We were those dry bones as
yes.
well. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we've been brought to life. That is the gospel message. Those of us who were dead have now been made alive
uh-huh.
in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible picture. Now, as far as the second death, we come into this world dead
yes.
spiritually, right?
Yes.
And we have an opportunity to choose life, to be made alive. Adam and Eve, they were alive, and they had the opportunity to choose death, and they chose death for all of mankind. And now in Christ, we've been given that opposite choice. We can choose life through faith in him. Those who don't choose life, don't come to faith in Jesus Christ, who are never made alive, they're going to face a judgment, the uh-huh. white throne judgment, and in that judgment, they're going to receive the full measure of the wrath of God, death, and it's called the second death. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's their eternal
yes,
destiny.
There's no coming back from
There's
that.
No coming back. No coming back whatsoever. And I think there was a third question in there.
Oh, 1,000 years or
about
something.
About the 1,000
yes.
years. Satan being bound up for 1,000 years and then loosed for a period of time.
Yeah.
Some of that is kind of vague and scary. And what in the world is John trying to communicate through that imagery, through those words?
Well, there's two things. The first is I think that he is showing, because that Satan is bound and thrown into the abyss for 1,000 years comes right after Jesus shows up. And Jesus shows up, and there's a sword that comes out of his mouth, which means that he is only speaking. Jesus doesn't, you know, come down and try to beat on people. He just speaks, and the battle is done. He doesn't even deal with Satan. He sends an angel down to bind Satan and to throw him into the abyss. So here we have this contrast between the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and this nothing who is Satan, stronger than me.
Now, how do you describe Satan?
Oh, he's the squashed bug on the windshield of God's Mack truck.
that's a great description of Satan right there.
Yeah, so you know, he just does away with him for a while, just leaves him there. And then the sad news of this story is that even after 1,000 years of Jesus reigning, the perfect Son of God reigning perfectly, when they loose Satan, we find out that even then, the vast majority of people who are left on the earth will not believe. They will not believe. And God is saying, you've had your chance. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer, guys. 1-800-677-9377. Lots of time on the clock and lots of open lines for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Brick, New Jersey, and talk with Mary, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to comment on you speaking about the new covenant. I know in the Bible, God said that he would write his laws on our hearts. And I'm glad that he did bring the new covenant. Just like you said, it makes us be able to be more of his and, you know, more of his belonging to him. And we know that we're his. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If he had to just let it stay limited, then I think that he would have showed himself as a limited God. And he now, with the Gentiles being included in so many nations, God has adopted a vast family of his own. I mean, he's a God for families, because he has ordained families. And look how great his family will be when we all see each other in heaven.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Mary. But you're exactly right. This new covenant, as it was written by Jeremiah, really is focused on Israel and Judah, that this would be a covenant for them. But that has been expanded for all people. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And also, Paul says that he's a minister of the new covenant, that God made him competent or equipped him to be a minister of the new covenant. Well, here Paul was the apostle for the Gentiles. He went out into the Gentile world, and what was he ministering out there in the Gentile world? This new covenant. He was ministering this new covenant of life into the lives of Gentile people. So it's a new covenant for both Jew and Gentile. To the Jew, it really is something new, because they were bound by that old. That was their way of life. To the Gentile, it's really just something brand new, in the sense that we've never known anything about this. We were distant from God. We were excluded from those promises, but we were all bound by sin and death, and through faith in Jesus Christ, we're made alive, and we're recipients of these promises. So, Mary,
and is that the reason why people say one new man?
Well, that's what the scripture says, that we've become one new man. It's a body that's made up of Jew and Gentile alike. We stand together as one. It's called a body. It's called a temple. It's just an amazing reality. And there's only one way that can happen, and that's through Jesus Christ and the body of believers standing together, united, by this new covenant.
Yes, amen.
Well, Mary, great question today. Let me put you on hold. We have a wonderful resource that we are making available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, and I would just love it to send to you. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's all about this new covenant. It really gives some perspective on what this new covenant is, what it means to us, and how it enables us to truly experience God's grace, this new life we have, to the full. So it is a fabulous resource. Let me put you on hold. We'll send it to you, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mary.
Well, friends, the only way that Basic Gospel can remain on the air is through your generous support. And for those of you who can make a gift at this particular time, well, I will send you a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. It's yours, as I said, for a gift of any amount. And you can find the link to make that gift at basicgospel.net, or you can go online, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours and request your copy from Billy and make your gift at that time using your credit or debit card. But again, basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. Either way, a great way to support the ministry and receive a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey. Well, guys, we had a call from Wilfred, who lives on Long Island, New York, and he had a question, but he had to get off the phone. The question, can someone who commits suicide still go to heaven?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Many people would equate suicide as the unpardonable sin. And the reason they would do so is simply this, that the person doesn't have a chance to repent of that sin, to confess that sin, and to ask God to forgive them of that sin. I mean, once you're dead, you don't have those options. So because that's the case, then they would conclude that that person could not go to heaven. Now, I think the Word of God teaches something differently. Mm-hmm. It simply says this, if you are in Christ, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, you have been set free from the law of sin and death by the Spirit of life. If you are in Christ, you have been placed in the very hand of Jesus Christ, and His hand has been placed in the hand of God the Father's. And no one can snatch you out of those two hands.
Yeah.
Not even you. You can't walk away. I mean, the grip is too tight. It's just, He's wrapped you up. And He says, you're mine, and I'm never going to let you go. If you're in Christ, you have the promise that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you're in Christ, you've already received forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you once and for all. You stand as righteous in His sight. So if you're in Christ, it doesn't matter if you commit suicide. It doesn't matter if you told a lie. Say, I said a lie to you, and as soon as that lie left my mouth, I died. What would that mean for me? Well, if I had to repent and confess and ask God to forgive me, then that would be an unforgiven sin, and I wouldn't be able to go to heaven because that sin is still out there on my account. But Jesus Christ has wiped our account clean. We are clean in His eyes. Now, does this condone suicide? Absolutely not. Does this speak of it in cavalier terms? Absolutely not. I think it's the most selfish act any person can do. But somebody coming to that point, you have to realize there's a lot of pain that's been in their lives. It is a very, very traumatic thing. There may be mental things going on. Rick Warren's son. And you say, is that guy not in heaven? Well, he loved Jesus. His testimony is so clear and so real and so genuine. And he cared for people. It's the testimony of everybody that knew him. What are you going to say, that he's not with the Lord? All we can say is this, that our salvation is 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ. It is His work and His work alone that saves us. There is not one single thing that we can do once we're in to mess that up. As Bart Millard said, I can't mess this thing up.
Yeah.
That's grace. That is grace. And boy, that just messes up our human sensibilities. That doesn't seem right, doesn't seem fair. Well, from our perspective, it's probably not. But thank God we're not dealing from our perspective. We're dealing from His. And if He saves a person, He saves them completely. So it's not, can someone who commits suicide go to heaven? It's simply this. If Christ has saved someone, they're saved. Mm-hmm. Is that person in Christ or are they not? And if they're in Christ, and we can't make that judgment.
Nope.
We don't know what's really transpired in a person's heart or what's been transacted there. Only that person and God does, knows. But if God has saved that person, I can guarantee you that the moment he was absent from the body, he's going to be present with the Lord.
Yeah. Wilfred, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. If you have a question you'd like to pose and you can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. But right now, we had an email this morning, guys, from Joyce, who lives in Tucson, Arizona. She's been listening to the program exposed to the ministry for 25 years or more, so a long time friend. She says, I know that Jesus said he was going to prepare a place for us, and then I read in 1 John 2:1, it says, our advocate is with the Father. If, as I know, my sins are gone, forgiven forever, why do I need a high priest in heaven as an advocate with the Father? I understand that Satan accuses us, but I can't see Jesus spending all his time defending us. After all, we are covered with the blood of Jesus, and we're perfect in him. Is there something that I'm missing? That's from Joyce in Tucson.
You know, that's a question that I've had personally, and I know others have asked it about the intercessory ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, once the blood was shed, once he was raised from the dead, it says that he lives to intercede for us constantly. And I've always wondered the same thing, but I think as you look at it, it's his blood that stands as a permanent, eternal intercession on our behalf. The blood of Jesus continually speaks good things about us and our relationship with God the Father. And so it stands as the eternal fount of mercy on our behalf, and it speaks into our lives here and now when the accuser does his work to bring accusations against us. So that's how I see it. It's not that Jesus is up there having to argue every sin that Satan throws at him as far as our sins are concerned. I think it's just the fact that his blood constantly intercedes on our behalf, both there and here. And that's great news.
Absolutely, it truly is. Well, thanks, guys. You know, friends, for many years, this ministry has been supported through your prayers and gifts, people who have heard the truth and who have responded to it. Today, it's no different. Your support is vital if we're to remain on the air with the good news of the Basic Gospel. And if you can help at this time, please go online to basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 1-800-727-2828 and join with us. Join with us with your most generous gift at this time. We would really appreciate and thank you for partnering with us. Basic Gospel, it's the message that God wants us all to hear. Again, that's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. And when you do, we're going to send you a copy of the CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. Bob Christopher was speaking of it just a short while ago. We want you to have a copy of it, and we'll get one to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Again, basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828. We'd also like you to join our email list at basicgospel.net. Just click subscribe in the upper menu. You'll get late news and information about the ministry, including upcoming events. And as I said yesterday, come October, you're going to want to be a part of this particular email list to receive day-by-day email support for our 23-day study through Revelation. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. So now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.